Senate Finance will come to order. It's nice to see Senator Dyson, Senator Stedman, Co-Chair Wilken. I'm Lyda Green, and we have some three pieces of legislation up before us this morning. And Senator Olson will be here for long, as will Senator Bundy, and I'm sure that we'll see Senator Hoffman as well. And the first piece of legislation up is House Bill 471. And we have before us Senate CS for House Bill number 471, version L. Could I get you to move that as our working document, Mr.
Madam Chair, move the committee adopt Senate CS for House Bill 471, finance version L, dated 419, as our working document.
Okay. And Representative Stoltz, do you and your staff and our company want to come up and present? Let us know what happened. As you recall, we passed the Senate version of the original bill out some time ago. And when, and it's been in rules, and when the companion bill came over from the House, it had some, quote, substantive changes. And so Senate President sent this bill back to us to review, and so that's what we have before us today. Also, although we have already passed the original version out, so if we could get Representative Stoltz and Bill Green to explain the changes that have been made from the time we last viewed this bill.
Thank you, Chairman Green. My name is Bill Stoltz, State Representative from the representing both sides of the bridge, the municipality of Anchorage and the Mat-Su Borough. It's a pleasure to be here today. My involvement with the Kinnickarm Crossing is, well, besides having known about this idea my entire living existence, since I was sprouted at the old Province Hospital in Anchorage, it's been, when I was elected my first term along with you, appointed to the Kinnickarm Bridge and Toll Authority, so I've become more involved. After that first initial legislation was passed, there was a commitment to bring back the details of the plan and the mechanisms, and that's this is the step of that we're at right now. Changes, though, in the House, there were two provisions removed. One related to the permanent fund dividend garnishment, what the term is, attachment for unpaid fines, and language relating to driver's licenses. Didn't want to get bogged down, and we're trying to build a bridge, and that was really the mechanics of an authority, and it was a little bit too much government for me as well, and so I thought it was best to take those provisions out. The other,
does everyone have the explanation of changes in their packet? I think you can walk us through.
Oh, you bet.
Where the line reference is.
And I'll reverse my order. There was an amendment adopted on the House floor. We thought it was an innocuous amendment, it was kind of done on the fly in a careless flash fashion that House floor amendments are sometimes adopted. It's one of the frailties of our system over there is we're not as careful as you guys. And this amendment that was adopted on the House floor had an inimical effect of what the authority would be able to how it would be able to function. The legislature specifically established the authority to be able to do the functions with the outside business community in Wall Street, and really takes the politics out of it. I think this amendment really re-injects it in, and I think that was the subterranean intent. So.
Is that the reference on page 3, line 29?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and that is the one that our CS has removed. The one amendment that the House had on their, in their version, said it would be have to be reviewed by the governor. Well, that is directly contrary to the function and the role of the toll authority itself, in that it has its certain powers and does not reference and go to the governor for permission it has the ability to act on its own. And then what happened on page 3, line 31, these could be somewhat... Oh, it doesn't exceed the power that of eminent domain that the state has.
Correct.
So, and that's a, that amendment is fine. And then on page 10, these references may be somewhat a couple lines off. This has to do, you can't put a lien on the permanent fund if you're in violation of something at the toll.
Madam Chair, that was, it's a provision common, a lot of municipalities exercise, but frankly, I didn't want it this project get mired down in the whole, often the, anytime you mention the permanent fund or permanent fund dividend, it confuses the issue. I think it's a mechanism that local governments, I think, including the city of Juneau, do for unpaid fines. But again, we're trying to build a bridge, and I think we can function just fine without this attachment, and we can collect unpaid tolls in another fashion.
And would that be the same kind of line of thought in the last portion there too, regarding the driver's license or vehicle reg?
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Are there any questions about the changes made in the House to their version of the document? And of course, we have version L before us. Are there any questions? Senator Wilkin.
Chair, so the only difference between L and 1.A from the House is the deletion of the authority of the governor?
Correct. That's the only difference.
Okay, that's the second question. If I could.
Yes, sir.
If I could refer you in version L to page 3, line 15. I just want to make sure that I understand that the words or money that the legislature may appropriate does not obligate the state to be the supporter or court of last resort for any sort of bond deficiency, or in any way tie the general fund or the state to support the bridge. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Senator, yes, that is correct. It is a provision that
Bill,
was.
Can I get you?
I'm sorry. I forget that every time. William okay. Green, Project Counsel for the Kendrick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority. My apologies. It was taken directly out of similar provisions that are in other titles dealing with similar facilities. It simply is there to acknowledge that if the legislature desired to appropriate monies, it may, but it's not obligated to. That's the only reason it's there. So it doesn't obligate the state to do anything, nor is it an obligation of the general fund.
Okay, thank you. Another question. Bill, as you know, folks around my area and, in fact, other areas of the state, including Anchorage, have some concern about the Kinnick Arm Bridge and the Gravina Bridge and the toll access road out of Juneau and how its impact will be on the NHS funding for the next 5+ years. We've asked the administration for some help understanding what amounts to a 5-year pro forma on how we're going to fund not only these bridges but also to do the NHS requirements from across the state. Have you been in any conversation with the administration working on that pro forma to present to us?
Madam Chair, Senator, yes, we've had some preliminary discussions with them. In terms of the final word on it, I think that probably needs to come from them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any concerns?
Just a quick comment.
Go ahead.
I think on the previous comment about the administration, I think that'll lead into the discussion of the difference of interpretation of the TLU funding coming out of Washington. And I think at that time, when they present this plan, we can delve into that and get that unraveled also.
Thank you. Okay, Does anyone have any objection to again moving this out of committee? Primarily already done this. Senator Wilkins, I give the motion.
Madam Chair, move to report House Bill 471 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Notes.
We have to back up a moment because a version L was offered but not adopted. Is there any opposition to adopting version L? Sometimes I assume when there's no opposition that we've already done it. So now could I again have your motion, Senator Wilkins?
Madam Chair, same motion. Adopt version L. Pass version L from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
There being no objections, version L, House Bill 471 passes from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hoffman.
Are we going to get, do you anticipate we'll get answer to Senator Wilkins' question before this hits the floor? We have to check with the Rules Chairman on the impacts of the highway fund, the six-year plan. And
before this bill. One is? I don't think yes. This one is the bill in question for Senator Wilkins. Go ahead, Senator Wilkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hoffman, I'd agree. This is a part of the whole picture, but it probably isn't enough to hold up the bill. And just for the committee's information, yesterday or the day before, I sent a letter to Commissioner Barton and just reminded him of what we requested of him in January to maybe just jog their memory that we'd sure like to see that financing plan. So, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next item up, we're going to skip down to Senator Olson's bill, and then we will do the Senate Bill 1. And this bill has been heard twice before, and we have version S being adopted at the last hearing. And are there any questions on this bill? And we have Jim McMillan online from the Alaska Energy Authority if anyone has any questions. Senator Olson, you just want to go back through very quickly what this bill does and so we can be reminded and then get it on its way.
I'd be glad to, Madam Chairman. Thank you very much for hearing this bill. It's Senate Bill 188, the bulk fuel revolving loan cap that is going to be increased for those communities and those entities that are out there that are now being harnessed by ordering large amounts of bulk fuel. And essentially nothing has changed since the last time we had looked at it. And we're just trying to make it so that the cap is increased. So with the increased amount of fuel that needs to be purchased by these communities, that they're able to go ahead and get the same amount of volume that they had before, obviously, which costs multiples from what it was in the past, and that's what the essence of the bill is.
Does anyone have any questions about this legislation? Senator Wilkins.
Just to thank you, there were a couple amendments. We didn't adopt those, did we?
No.
So okay, so it's the original bill?
The original bill.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any opposition to moving Senate Bill 188 from committee? Would anyone like to hold it for any reason? Senator Olson, can I get a motion from you to move Senate Bill 188?
Madam Chairman, thank you. I move that the Senate Bill 188 be moved from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there objection? There being no objection, Senate Bill 188 moves from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Senator Wilkin, Senate Bill 1.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If your permission, I'll just make a brief presentation right from here. That's all right. thank you for hearing Senate Bill 1 having to do with the student dollar and the base student allocation for K-12, the single largest general fund appropriation that we make. It'll be somewhere a touch over $1 billion this year. This is the student component. If I could, just for the record, just read in the sponsor statement. You have the sponsor statement, the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 1, which essentially is a very efficient bill. It spends over $900 million with just moving, with just changing four numbers. So, and then you have, I believe, you have the governor's pencil chart, as we referred to it. Perhaps we'll talk about that just for a moment. Madam Chair, members of the committee, since 1998, the K-12 public school funding formula has distributed state education dollars based on a per-student allocation. Sponsor substitute for SB1 increases its allocation by $433, establishing a per-student dollar of $5,352. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 1 recognizes that day-to-day educational costs continue to increase, causing a financial strain on the school budgets in all 53 school districts. This 8.8% proposed increase in the student dollar will help mitigate these rising costs, thus allowing local school boards to direct more education dollars into the classroom. Unfortunately, school districts are also burdened with a 5% increase in their required employer contribution to the two retirement systems, public employees retirement system, PERS, and the teachers retirement system, known as TERS. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 1 will generate the needed funds to cover these costs, estimated to be $40 million statewide in fiscal year 07. Please join me in support of our public school system and give your approval to sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 1. With that, Madam Chair, I'm available for questions. And again, thank you, you and the committee, for hearing the bill.
Are there any? Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and apologize for being in the other finance committee. This one's much more fun. But my bill was over there.
From
what you've said, Senator Wilkins, then apparently this year's funding will be similar to last year, when in that about almost half of the student dollar increase has to go to the teacher retirement obligation. So that while we got $90 million, it doesn't get to go to the classroom, half has to go to the teacher retirement program.
Senator Bundy, through the chair, that's correct. $40 million goes to for PERS and TERS, or TERS in this case, and $50 million will go to the classroom. Last year it was $70 million, if folks remember, and $30 million went to the PERS and TERS obligations for our districts, and $40 million went to the classroom. I think if I might just refer to this, this is a good chart, because in my opinion the number is going in the right direction. But there really needs to be a line added here. There's a couple things missing, and we should make note of that. Here in 02 and 03, on the pencil chart, this is when we used to have logs back in 01, 02, and 03. So you see there wasn't a change in the 02, 03 appropriation, but you'll remember we rolled the logs in. That was the quid pro quo that year. So this actually did go up a little, but it was in the form of logs to make this exactly right. The other piece that's interesting here is that you can see from 99 to 07, the increase in the student dollar is about 36%. I think it's there should be another line added here. The number of students that we've educated in that same time has decreased by about 1%. So out here in 99, we were educating 133,000 of our students, and today we're at about 132,000. So while the funding has gone up, our student count has remained, for all sorts of reasons, essentially flat or slightly diminishing. And I think that we should remember that, and that certainly on a per-student basis, we're increasing it. Our efforts, of course, should be to drive dollars to the classroom as needed. But at the same time, I think those that always ask for more have to remember that we're spending what amounts to a great deal more money on the same amount of students, and I think we need to make sure that we're honest with one another and have that on the table for discussion.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you, and I always find that chart interesting. You know, that student numbers have gone down, funding's increased 33%, and I'm wondering if there's anywhere we could have a chart that would show how much student achievement has increased with this increased funding.
Senator Green, Senator Bundy, that whole ball started rolling by you in Senate Bill 147 in 1997.
Forgotten.
Yeah, so the results of that. Everybody's working hard. In fact, it was such a good idea that President Bush copied you in 2001, and that's why we have No Child Left Behind. So I think those numbers are coming in, and from what I think we've all seen, certainly in the HESS committee, and talking to our school districts, our districts are starting to make improvement. So.
All right. First, I do the seatbelt bill, and now you blame me for No Child Left Behind. I will have no basis support by the time you're finished here.
I was going to say the jury is still out.
Yeah, we have also a problem where many of the districts that are pleading for additional money are not able to put the money we give, the majority of the money we give them, into the classroom, and we're going to have testimony from Department of Education or anyone that might indicate, again, how many districts are receiving waivers where the majority of the funds that they get from the state go into overhead maintenance and do not end up in the classroom. I think the law says we got 60% is supposed to go to the classroom, and we have a great number of districts that do not meet that. And so maybe our next quest, should you choose to join me, is consolidation of some of these 53 school districts that are way too many for the number of children we have and we're educating in Alaska. Do I take your silence as an affirmation?
Madam Chair and Senator Bundy, the percent is 70%, and that was a result of Senate Bill 36 to try to drive money away from school districts that were spending more than half their money on administration and less than half on classrooms. And so we made an attempt to fix that, and it has worked to a certain degree, but there are a lot, I don't know the exact number, but there's a number of school districts that do claim waivers, and some of them are valid and some of them aren't, and that's the department's job to go through those, and it's probably time to revisit that noble effort to make sure that at least 70% of our dollars get driven to the classroom.
Thank you. Senator Bundy.
And just one last comment. As I understand, the waivers are automatic, and that's an issue that does need to be revisited.
And are there other questions? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What were those numbers for Persian TERS and classroom?
This year it's 50-40 classroom TERS. Last year was 40-30 classroom TERS.
And the reason that I raise this, Madam Chairman, is that out of the 40, many schools have to absorb substantial increases in fuel costs, not only heating fuel, but electric fuel. And I know Senator Wilkin is well aware of that, coming from Fairbanks, which really brings the amount that we're given to the classroom substantially below the $40 million. And that is why they're still under this proposal. There will be school districts that will have to lay off school teachers. And that is why I guess I'm still concerned about the level of funding. And I know there are school districts and educational organizations throughout the state that believe that the $90 million is not adequate, an adequate level for 07 funding. I'm not prepared to have an amendment on that, but I'm sure that that is an issue that's going to be discussed to some length on the floor. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of things I'd like to add to that. One of them is the impact of the TERS, or the retirement system, on the education. That impact hasn't been fully felt yet. They have several more years of incremental increases as the percent of employee benefit as far as payroll increases. So there's going to be continued erosion of the total dollars being pushed, or the marginal dollars being pushed into education, will go to this unfunded liability, which then ripples back to the impact that we're trying to do as far as getting more money in the classroom. The other struggle we have in this is some of the districts are disadvantaged in the formula that is used to allocate the financial resources around the state to the different school districts. And my school districts in particular in Southeast are at a disadvantage, and we need to work on rectifying that. So not only do we need to try to advance more dollars into the classroom, but we need to try to deal with this unfunded pension liability that we have, which is going to approach 50% of payroll here in a few years, which is huge, and then deal with how the monies are allocated in a more equitable manner so that the children around the state have equal opportunity in education, which I don't believe they have today, particularly in Southeast Alaska they don't. Southern Southeast, I should say.
Southern Southeast.
Central to Southern.
Senator Bundy.
And can't help but observe that there's a Senate bill that is languishing in the House that would put $10 million more money into some of the more higher cost areas of the state to help with their education. And when we consider school funding, I think we need to consider all sources of funding. When the Senator mentioned Southern Southeast, I do remember getting a letter last year from a married couple of teachers in on Prince of Wales Island, and they observed that if indeed they had to pay local taxes, they would leave the state, because the reason they came to teach at that district in Alaska wasn't their, at least as they portrayed to me, their love of learning or their wanting to work with children or even for an adventure. It was because they researched where they would have no tax burden, and that's where they went. I'm sure we'll miss them when that bill passes.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
This is a clarification. I'm not referring to the unorganized areas. I'm referring to organized boroughs and communities in the unorganized area that actually pay either 4 mils for their schools or 3.8 effective rate. And I think Anchorage is at 3.2. There's a lot of other communities around the state at 3.6 as far as millage. So the inequities that I see are not on the unorganized versus the organized. The inequities are into the organized areas where people are actually paying for their schools. So the point I wanted to bring up is the school districts of Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Sitka are at the disadvantage. I wasn't referring to the unorganized areas, which is normally the conversation point when we get into school funding. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? We have several people who are some in the room to testify and some online, and I have set a 3-minute time limit so that we can be sure and get to everyone in on our list, and trying to get some of the off nets first so they can drop off the line. Larry Wiggett in Anchorage.
Senator Green, members of the committee. My name is Larry Wiggett, and I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Anchorage School District. The Anchorage School Board and the administration respectfully request that the legislature increase the education funding formula above the $92 million proposed by Governor Murkowski to allow all districts to maintain a rigorous and effective instructional program that continues to increase student academic proficiency. The Anchorage School District FY 2006-2007 operating budget was developed within projected revenues using the governor's proposed base student allocation of 5352. The Anchorage School District to continue with the maintenance level budget with the same programs and staffing levels as the FY 2005-2006 school year without implementing budget reductions and increasing student participation fees. The VSA would need to be increased by approximately additional $6 million. We appreciate all that you are doing to support public education in the state and would sincerely appreciate your support for our request for an addition to this base student allocation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry. Senator Bundy.
Thank you. Good morning, Larry. Senator Stedman mentioned mill rates that we're generating locally in Anchorage. What percentage of the maximum allowable local contribution is Anchorage currently paying?
I'm sorry. I don't have that figure off the top of my head. I do know, as in other communities and organized boroughs, we are paying up. We are receiving a local contribution up to what the local tax cap allows.
And that is just a little clever use of words. The tax cap is not what I ask about. It's how much are you paying that you could actually pay? And in my understanding, you only pay about 80-85% of what the local contribution could be.
Yeah, I don't have the exact. I want to say there are several million dollars below the current allowable by state law, but I don't have that figure in the top of my head. But you're correct. It is a number, and I don't want to give a figure. I want to say 6-8 million somewhere in there, but I'm not quite sure, so I don't want to mislead anybody with that number.
And reason I, Madam Chair, the reason I bring that up is it's often mentioned that the state is not providing enough money. Well, in some cases, like Anchorage, the locals are not also providing their maximum input.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
And Valdez, Kathy Todd.
Yes, thank you. I'm a member of the local school board. I just, again, like to say that more money is needed. Although we appreciate the governor's proposal, that doesn't even cover our percentage increase, let alone our increase in electricity. Our electricity bill this year went up such that 3 months' worth of the increased bill is one teacher's worth of money. That's with more lights turned off, buildings cooler, less energy being used, but the bill still goes up by that amount. We're slated with the $90 million to lay off more than 10% of our teachers with proportionate cuts in classified personnel. The extra funding is not going to the classroom. It's going to NCLB testing and other paperwork. It's going to energy, and it's going to costs that were not borne by previous generations of students. When mistakes were made and how much should be being paid for the retirement system. We need to put more money into having the same quality of education for this for these students as was provided for previous students. If we can fix PERS and TERS outside of the student allocation, great. Until that happens, we need to have money to cover that, plus money to cover the increased cost of energy, that sort of thing, or else our students have much increased class sizes, lack of electives, not enough education to compete in with the other students in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And in Kenai, Melody Douglas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Melody Douglas. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I appreciate the opportunity to address you today. The Kenai Peninsula Borough School District developed its preliminary budget using the governor's proposed base student allocation. The revenue this generated fell short of the basically status quo, except for increased fuel, utility, retirement system rate, and insurance rate increases, and a modest amount set aside to address the collective bargaining process. This budget fell short of projected revenue by $3.6 million. The district has heard the direction from NCLB, parents, and legislators for low PTRs, so much so that the district budgeted fund balance in FY06 to ensure effective class sizes, not a sound financial practice. It is not prudent to use fund balance for ongoing operating expenses. Our fund balance is significantly below standards for such accounts. What we have is needed to address overexpenditure of utility accounts, enrollment under projections, and other unforeseen situations. The board approved the FY07 budget on April 3rd with an increase to the PTR of 3 students to all staffing formulas. This equated to the loss of 41 teachers for next year. The total reduction in teachers for next year is 63 positions, 22 due to declining enrollment and 41 to the formula change, representing 13% of our teaching staff. This means some classes will be in excess of 30 students, the loss of voc ed classes, arts, foreign languages, librarians, and counselors. We already have some administrators covering multiple schools. This practice will grow. Thankfully, the Kenai Peninsula Borough approved funding at the cap for another year so far. This level of support continues to be a struggle considering their financial constraints. An increase to the mill rate is needed to fund at the cap at our local level. As you are probably aware, a sales tax increase failed before the voters last fall. This matter will be presented to the voters again this fall. The borough needs additional revenue in order to continue supporting the district at the cap. If you've been following educational funding for any time at all, which I'm sure you all have, you are aware of KPBSD's financial plight. It's getting worse each year. Something must be done to address a district faced with ongoing declining enrollment. I understand the challenges of where to put the money in the formula. Statewide equity is important to consider. Frankly, for the Kenai, it's getting to the point of, we'll take it any way we can get it. District cost factors need to be adjusted in addition to the increase to the BSA. Thank you for the work that you do on behalf of the public in Juneau, and I also thank you for the opportunity to address educational funding at this time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Melody. And also in Nikiski is Jenny Hammond.
Yes, my name is Jenny Hammond, and I live in Nikiski. I have two children attending Nikiski North Star Elementary in Nikiski. In my son's first grade class, there are 26 students. He started the year with 24 students. I have noticed the difference in the classroom with just two more students. My son is distracted a little more. Next year, we have only 14 teachers instead of 16. The district has increased PTR by three students. In my daughter's all-day kindergarten class this year, they had 20 students with no aid. Next year, with the district PTR, it'll be 23 students all day with no aid. We have at our school approximately 415 students. Next year, we could lose between 20 to 25 students. The class sizes could start at 26 students, K through 3, and 32 students in 4 through 6. In order for class sizes to go back down again, the children need more funding for teachers. I volunteer approximately 14 hours a week at their school. Nikiski North Star is a school that promotes parent and community involvement. This week we had our volunteer dinner. It was stated that over 3,000 hours of volunteering has taken place this year, which could be about $35,000 a year. Please, for the children, increase education funding to hire more teachers, and changing the cost differential would also help. And just to point out, we again did fund at the cap from the borough, and also we do, for our district, have the 70-30 rule. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, that completes the off-net. And then in this room, Stephanie Allison.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Stephanie Allison. I'm the parent of a third grader at Glacier Valley Elementary School. I'm also on the site council for Glacier Valley Elementary School. I received all of my secondary and post-secondary education within the state of Alaska. I find this chart very interesting. However, I'm a certified public accountant, and the item missing from this chart are the comparable expenses each year. There have been significant increases of expenses. PERS and TERS are part of it, but also healthcare costs have increased substantially. As well as utilities and overhead. So although I'm really happy to see the increases, I'd be interested to see what the comparison is for expenses. In addition, schools have to offer enough of a salary to attract quality teachers, because that's the only way to give a quality education. And that is again another increase, even with declining enrollment. In Juneau, as you know, the Juneau CBJ contributes to the cap and has historically contributed to the cap every year. The last year, the district was able to lower the PTR in classrooms significantly. However, with the proposed BSA, the PTRs will be increasing again. In my son's school, we could see a significant difference in class sizes and how well teachers were able to teach. In a class, especially K through 3, that has over 20 students, teachers aren't able to teach as well. They are doing a significant amount of time managing students. In addition, we are looking at a loss of some specialists, specifically counselors within the district at the elementary level, and they provide a great deal of support to the teachers for those children who need extra help in any way. I realize that this is a difficult issue and that there's a lot of different variances involved with different districts and how they fund and how communities contribute. Personally, I feel that it's time to look at some sort of permanent endowment for schools so that this battle does not have to be fought every year and take a great deal of your time and mine, since this is the third year that I've been involved in these discussions. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Peggy Callan? Senator Wilkin.
Ma'am, could I interrupt for just a moment? Is the lady from Valdez still online?
I'm still here.
Ma'am, I just wanted to, I think your testimony said that retirement costs weren't covered in the legislation. Is that what you had said?
My understanding is that the amount that we need to have extra for PERS and TERS, that the increase just barely, you know, some years it doesn't cover that, some years it just barely covers that.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear, because in the bill, Valdez gets $315,937 to cover TERS and PERS for 07.
Yeah, the estimate that I have from our business manager, who is not here right now to correct me if I don't have those papers in front of me, is that what our extra is something over $400,000.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe he could call and we could verify that, because we think in the $40 million we're covering the increase. And so if we're not, we probably need to know that. So my number is 465-3709.
465-3079.
3709, yes.
3709. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'll have a call.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Peggy Callan.
Madam Chairman, Peggy Callan's not here right this minute, so she asks to move on to the next.
Okay, topic. Thank you very much. Jan Carlisle? Sorry. I'm sorry. Mary Hakala?
Senators, for the record, I'm Mary Hakala. I'm here representing myself, my three children in Alaska Public Schools, and I'm lead in a grassroots, nonpartisan network of citizens who are advocates for great schools in Alaska. And you've heard from many of us, and a lot of parents are concerned. They want good schools for their kids. And although the funding has increased over these past couple years, and this year again, the $90 million, it does not keep pace with costs. These are overhead costs, PERS, TERS, fuel, inflation, health insurance premiums, most of which are out of a district's direct control. It ends up harming kids in classrooms when revenues do not meet expenses. It ends up translating into higher class sizes, losses of those support positions like counseling services, the enrichments that help make school really interesting and fun for kids, and also ways of expressing themselves, art and music, that offer children a very comprehensive and solid instructional base. As a parent, I see the governor's number, unfortunately, translating into an erosion of what schools now are capable of doing. I have a handout here, and I'd like to provide it to you, because Juneau, I'm a resident of Juneau. Juneau is a case in point, and I hope you will take a few moments to look through this. We don't have time today with 3 minutes, but I offer that to meet overhead costs and allow a small margin for improvement at the classroom level takes an investment by Alaska of approximately $150 million, not 90. That gets you beyond maintenance level overhead. It gets you to the classroom. And that's our agenda. We want funding to get to kids in classrooms. I brought my children, two of my children here today, and it's their Civics 101 short lesson. I hope that they grow up realizing that government is accessible and responsive. And I'll close. I'd like to read some words that I find very compelling. Please remember that good K through 12 public schools are a cornerstone of economic development. When business leaders look at a community and decide whether or not to locate at that area, the quality of the schools play a highly influential role in the selection process. The most talented employees, the best and the brightest, demand good schools for their children. Industries with high-paying jobs and educated employees will inject valuable tax dollars into our economy, lessening the burden on individual property owners. A good school system is the foundation for our community's future. I agree. Thank you, Senator Lyda Green and Senator Charlie Huggins.
So Steve Parker, did you wish to testify?
Not here to testify.
Okay. Suzanne Malter, are you here to testify?
No.
Okay. Mary Becker.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you. I'm Mary Becker. I live here in Juneau. I am the Association Alaska School Board State President this year and am also a Juneau School Board member. I taught for 30 years in the Juneau School District, and after doing that, couldn't leave education and ran for the school board. As the Association President this year, I have listened, as you have, to many of the needs across the state. I cannot speak specifically about every school's budget or every school's strategic plan, but I wanted to share with you a little bit about strategic plans, which our districts have. The Association of Alaska School Board has been instrumental in the QS2 Quality Schools, Quality Students program to develop strategic plans under the leadership of Bruce Johnson, who is in the audience today. Strategic plans are kind of the marching orders that our communities, our parents, our businesses give us. And they refer to those often. We meet in Juneau regularly to discuss our strategic plans, and we make budget decisions and other educational decisions based on the strategic plans. This budget proposal from the legislature of $90.2 million affects our strategic plans in Juneau in these ways. One of our strategic plan statements is communication and partnership. I'm sure you know what that means. We have not been able to keep some of that partnership going through our parent volunteer in our schools that we used to have. We used to pay for a parent to come in and create ways for teachers to access parent and businesses to come in and teach and help in the classrooms. We cut that years ago. We do not have a PR person in our district because we can't afford that. We don't consider that as important. Our website is seldom kept up the way our parents want it to because we really can't afford a webmaster. Staff development is another one of our strategic plans. Naturally, we have to develop our staff because the state and the federal requirements, and No Child Left Behind, and all the things that we want to have a staff that is as highly qualified as they can be. Healthy attitudes and behaviors, you know the federal government has a nutrition bill that's coming out. In addition to that, we want our students to be safe in our schools. We want our parents want our students to be bused. I think they would like them to be bused from their doorstop to the school. We are trying to find a way to bus them. You have cut our busing, and we have taken your request that we look seriously at our busing and not inflate our costs, and we haven't. We are bare bones. And of course, that's in our strategic plans. Our parents who are working with us in these, they don't like some of the things we're doing. Two of the very important strategic plans that we are really focusing on this year is Alaska Native Success and Graduation Success for All. This 90.2 budget, which will not cover our needs in our district, will have these consequences for us. We will have to cut our truancy tracker. And that is the person who really tries to get children in school. And there's quite a few children she has to go around and talk to parents and try to get to school. We, this last year, were able to hire 3 additional counselors for our middle school and our high school. We call them informally dropout counselors. You know that is it's been in the paper. We have a huge, huge dropout issue in our whole country and certainly in our state. we're going to have to cut them. We have provided additional support in our high school for the high school qualifying exam for students who are not passing it. We have literacy teachers. We have high school qualifying exam additional classroom teachers. Last year, for the first time, to our parents' delight, we lowered class sizes. We are going to raise them again by 3 to 5 students in every class. We don't want to do that. And in addition, we think that activities keep students engaged in school, and we are going to have to cut a sizable amount of our activity funds. I know my time is up. Thank you very much, and I hope you will consider an increase in this base student allocation.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We probably both agree that it's difficult to pay a very good teacher too much. Unfortunately, the bad ones shouldn't probably get paid anything, but there's a bill currently active that would provide merit pay, a bonus for schools that do a particularly good job in moving their students forward, advancing students. Has your organization taken a position on that bill?
I don't believe that we have taken a positive position, but we have, of course, looked at it. But we have not taken a supportive position at this time.
Well, it's a way to get more money to teachers, so I would encourage you to take a look at it and make the difficult decisions that we all have to make.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just kind of curious if the State Association of School Boards has had any discussion on how they're plan on handling the escalation of employee benefit contributions that's going to push 50% of payroll within the next 4 or 5 years, and how they plan on rectifying that with salary increases and trying to get more dollars into the classroom. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see if they've had a policy discussion on that issue.
Please explain your question a little bit more thoroughly to me.
The unfunded liability that the schools have around the state, the school districts have dealing with the TERS, and they have some PERS involved.
Okay.
But that cash flow demand is going to increase the next several years and push 50% of payroll from down around 20s a few years ago, or even lower than that. And I'm just curious if the Association of School Boards have had any discussions on how they're going to try to deal with requests for salary increases and try to keep the funding that's going to be required under the retirement system in place without, one, diverting to the permanent fund, which would be a claim of a substantial claim on the permanent fund, or going to the property owners with property tax increase. Where's the money coming from?
Madam Chairman, if I may. Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. Sorry for putting you on the hot seat, Mary. I just arrived here.
That's fine. Thank you.
The question that you're asking with regard to salary increases, we don't have a statewide salary schedule. Each school district negotiates for themselves, that's local control. It is a concern of all of ours. We understand how that's going to impact us. We don't have a formal position. We try to make people aware of the impact of the unfunded liability, and it's growing. The other body, just in rules, adopted what they think is one proposal for bonded debt, for bonding liabilities. But we don't have the wherewithal to address this. We're simply having to assume that portion. When we assumed the employee portion, I can't remember exactly when it was, in the mid-80s or so, when we assumed the employee portion, it wasn't much of a problem, we didn't think at that time. It's only in recent time that we realized that there was this unfunded liability. And so, as an association, we haven't addressed this because each school district deals with negotiations individually. If I understand your question correctly, you've asked, how do we plan on dealing with this? We have conversations about it, but it really is the responsibility of each individual district as to how they're going to plan for negotiations.
May I just add one thing? And it is very important that salaries do continue to keep up with cost of living, because we are losing teachers and we are having an extremely difficult time getting specialists and special ed teachers and OTPT and speech and so forth. So it is a concern, and we do have a conflict there, it is true. Thank you for the question. And thank you, Kurt, for helping answer it.
Any other questions? Carl, one thing I'd like to ask, though, and then one of the things that's kind of been overlooked in the conversation, because the state has actually been very generous in working with communities, departments, agencies, and certainly school districts in funding the increase for the last several years. That is not the state's obligation. That is the obligation of the school districts and the communities and the various agencies. So I think there should be a recognition that the state has gone above and beyond in funding what we've done on PERS and TERS. Go ahead.
If I may respond, I think I'm on record and I've written letters of thanks. I do appreciate that amount of money being put in there. We're in a lot of strain in the school system by assuming that debt, and having it picked up on behalf of the state is a huge relief for us. We still have some fixed costs that we're having to deal with, and so we're still in a difficult position, but if you would accept my thanks,
no,
I really do appreciate the effort that has been made.
I just want to be sure the conversation is going on, that it is up to school districts to, you know, be preparing how, as this goes on in time, this takes a long time for this to get a lot better.
Madam Chairman,
with our participation,
I would just share with you, every time we have a conversation about foundation, we talk about what would happen if that $40 million was not provided. It would come straight out of the classroom. So we're well aware of that, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. Comment. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
Due to bad actuarial advice and that was passed on to the legislature by previous retirement boards. The retirement was underfunded, that's led to this great liability. Last year, in an attempt to stop the hemorrhaging of the system, we passed Senate Bill 149 has some other problems. 141, thank you. And having to make some major changes, because if we kept doing what we were doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting. Yet I hear weekly, if not daily, from people, there's out there some organized effort to delay the implementation of 141, that somehow, give us one more year of people on the special benefits or whatever. Appears to me more concerned about their individual benefits than the quality of education. Has your organization taken a position on 141? Are you opposed to its implementation? Are you encouraging the delay of its implementation?
Through the chair, many of our members have great concerns. As an association, we've not taken a position. We've had discussions, and the environment today, when you look around our nation, you look at the large companies who are also seeking relief. This is something that's happening across the nation. It's very difficult for us because we're affected both ways. I mean, we're all affected by 141 in this passage. We have some concerns moving forward in terms of attracting and retaining, and you've heard all of those discussions. We also have some concerns about some of the things that may have been overlooked as a result of the passage of that bill, and the House has been working on some of those issues, and I think these will all be coming forward. This is a huge issue, and we don't have a position up or down, yes or no, at this time. There are a lot of issues involved here.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I encourage you to share with your members that every dollar, should we go back to the old system that Senator Stedman pointed out, we'd soon have 50% of the funding going to benefits. Every dollar that goes into those benefits is a dollar that cannot go into the classroom.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you, Mary. Good luck in your new role. John Alcantara. Maybe the next person can answer your question.
Absolutely. Good morning, Madam Chair, Member of the Finance Committee. For the record, my name is John Alcantara, Government Relations Director for about 13,000 public school employees in EA Alaska. I guess first and foremost, I'd like to thank Senator Wilken for Senate Bill 1, the sponsor substitute. As usual, he's a warrior for education funding K through U, and we certainly appreciate the movement in the proper direction. Our number, hopefully you've heard about it from now, by now, as we're in day 102, is a BSA of $5,611. That's a $55 million increase above the $90 million that's on the table in this bill. We talk a lot about adequate funding of public education, and we talk a lot about what was not done from 1983 to 2002. I appreciate the pencil chart, as I have seen many times from the governor and Commissioner Sampson, others. But I also would point out that there was a period of two decades in this state, right about after I graduated from high school in 1982, where back in the glory days when you didn't have to pay for sports and other activities, and education budget was adequate. Since then, there was 20 years of flat funding. In the last 4 years, you can see by the pencil chart, there's been significant increases. I guess the danger is always coming and being accused of kind of looking a gift horse in the mouth that, wow, this is $90 million, and you're never happy. You know, you want more, you want this number. I would say you've seen the headlines from across the state, from Kenai, and there are 75 teachers that would have to be laid off with this 5352 number. You know, Madam Chair, as you live in the same community that I do, that Mat-Matsu School District is $4 million short. Anchorage School District, as Larry Wiggett testified to, is about $2 million short, and the list, I believe, goes on and on. I know we put out something in January of this year that said not a single school district in the state has said this is adequate, and maybe we, since that was in January, maybe we need to correct that, because I do believe the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District has testified to the fact that that it would be an adequate number. I guess, you know, an 8.8% growth in K-12 funding, the number one priority, time after time, poll after poll for Alaska citizens. I don't know what the growth of the overall budget is. To be honest, I haven't tracked. You guys have that on the floor today. I haven't tracked your budget as I did the governor's budget. The governor had a budget increase proposed to you for fiscal year 07 of an increase of about 16.3%. are about double what K-12 is getting as an increase. I guess I would be derelict in my duties if I didn't point that out. So I understand the frustration of lawmakers currently sitting here that have done these increases. I, on behalf of our membership, I applaud what has been done, and it certainly, as Carl Rose and others have alluded to, it has helped in helping with the PERS-TERS problem and other issues. But I guess I would just say we had a plan 2 years ago to get to adequacy. It's that dreaded word, POMV, that no one wants to talk about this session. But we're willing to work the interim, work every year to create a plan, as somebody mentioned earlier, that creates a funding mechanism to achieve adequacy over, in our plan, the next 8 years. And in a perfect world, it wouldn't take that long, but there are huge dollar amounts that we're talking about, and the dollar amount we're talking about today is $145 million or $55 million above this bill. So 5611 is our number. It'll continue to be our number, but we'll be grateful for the positive direction that this bill is taking and the actions on the other body yesterday as well. Thank you.
Senator Tedman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think if we look at the target number that's been thrown on the table here at 5611, next year, or for the last 4 years, we've compounded at 7.5%. We'll be above that next year at 5,700. So we'll have that number to you maybe a few months later than you'd like. And if I could, Madam Chair, at the rate of growth over the last 4 years, it's a 7.5% compounded growth rate. We're going to double school funding in 9.6 years. And the presenter just mentioned they have an 8-year target. I guess I'm be interested when we delve into it if their eight-year target is going to double the student dollar and still not be enough when we have flat student count in the state. I think there are some underlying issues that appear to be very troubling within the forward trends that we're looking at here.
Senator Bundy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator.
I think there are two constants in all the while I've been in the legislature. One, oil forecasts are always wrong, and two, there's never adequate funding for education. I'm aware of two bills that are currently active that would put another $15 million into our schools. One, of course, is the Senate Bill 112 that would require a local contribution of those 19 REAA rural school districts that make no local contribution at this time versus the 17 rural districts that do make contribution. And the other is the merit pay proposal. I'm aware your organization has come out against the merit pay proposal. Have you taken a position on the other $10 million that we could bring into fund our schools on the rural head tax?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, NEA Alaska has no delegate assembly position on that Senate Bill 112. I would be, erroneous if I gave my personal opinion, and I think you guys have some discussions you need to have on what other contributions maybe are made by those several districts that you mentioned. I know as far as merit pay, when you're competing for scarce resources, I see where the program has been, scaled back to $5.8 million from a $15.2 million earlier. I just think that there's better, more proven methods to put that money to better use. Thank you.
A better use than rewarding successful teachers?
Well, through the chair, to Senator Bundy, in training teachers how to be successful, mentoring program, other things that have been proven to be effective where merit pay, although I would say Commissioner Sampson's done good work on this proposal, but merit pay historically and across the nation has it mirrors other failed programs, and I think there are programs that are successful that that'd be better use for the resources that are on the table.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In regards to the comments from Senator Stedman, I think that the direction that he is referring to is a positive one. But there's no guarantees that the next legislature, even the next composition of this finance committee next year after elections, will be in support of more money for education. That's why we go back and look at some of the flat funding issues that exist. We don't know what the price of oil is going to be, and we don't even know who the next governor will be. So to say that we're moving in the right direction and we will continue to do so, that can't be forecast. All we can do is decide what the funding level is today. And to say that in the future we may have increased costs gives the students and the districts very little consolation. If we go ahead at the $90 million increase, the fact of the matter is that there will be teachers laid off, and we will receive a lower standard of education.
Senator Wolfgang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Morning, John.
Morning, Senator.
Help me a little bit with your 5611. It's been bannered around as a number. Could you tell me, how did you get to that number? How did you build it? Did you have a piece of paper? And I guess, is that the number you think is needed to provide a good education to the kids of Alaska?
Through the chair to Senator Wilkin. I actually do have a piece of paper, but it is from January, and it does mention some of the costs from FY08 through FY14. It provides a little bit of a sticker shock. So Senator Stedman mentioned earlier about the doubling of K-12 education over the next 8 years. So it's when I'm hesitant to hand out to folks when they're stressed on other issues. But yeah, I can tell you that to get to the $145 million, you've mentioned the TERS PERS. We peg that at $39.7 million. I believe that was a number straight from the administration. Everybody's mentioned 40. Okay, we're within a couple hundred thousand there. So that's the first piece, the $40 million piece. We had a little bit lower inflation factor because we did our inflation on 3% as the permanent fund does, and that was a $25 million piece based on K-12 funding from last year, about 3% of a little over $800 million. That's the state part of K-12 budget. But the biggest component is recovering from the 83 to 2002 funding gap. And there's all kinds of ways, resource cost delivery model, professional judgment model, best schools model, that you can calculate what the gap is. And the gap is significant. The gap is $675 million. You take an eighth of that to get to adequacy over an eight-year time period, and you come up with the $34 million real dollars you put in the classrooms the last 2 years minus TERS, PERS, and inflation. And you end up with $641 million, divided it by eight, and you have $80 million of real dollars trying to make it into the classroom. So there's a $65 million, if you will, of fixed costs due to inflation. Your bill and the governor's bill, I think, saying it's $70 million because your inflation factor is $5 million different. And I think you've said, and the governor said, this puts, after inflation and retirement, this puts $20 million into the classroom. We're looking to put $80 million into the classroom. And that's where we kind of diverge to the different number that we're at.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, maybe I can get a little bit of help here. Do you happen to know what the number would be if we brought the K-12 education up to the actuarial calculated rate? We're substantially below that. You know, there's a 5% cap, and I'm just curious what that delta would be that we'd have to put on top of the $90 million today to neutralize the growth of the liability. Because we all know that the liability jumped up $1.2 billion in the last year, ending last June 30th.
Through the chair to Senator Stedman, I don't know if there's any representation from the Alaska Retirement Management Board here, but since I attended their presentation this week, I can tell you that in PERS, the additional needed is $110 million for this year, and in TRS, the additional needed would be $98 million this year. I know one of the ARM board recommendations further down the line was an infusion of that $208 million just for this 1 year to make that difference.
Okay. So if I could, Madam Chairman, if we just round off the numbers because we don't have it in all of it in front of us. Roughly, we have a $90 million increase in front of us today, K through 12. We would need another 90 or 100 million on top of that just to keep the status quo this year and to neutralize the growth of the liability. I think part of that, because there's a part of the funding is paid for by the local communities, and it wouldn't necessarily be picked up by the state. But we're looking at 180, 200 million.
Through the chair to Senator Stedman, that would be correct, and your extra $98 million obviously would only cover TRS. And I guess I would point out that of the 11,400 active public school employees of NEA Alaska, about 3,200 of those are support staffers that are in a PERS system. So obviously there's a number out there for TRS to make up the difference in the actual actuarial compounded rate of what people are putting in, and there's a number for PERS employees statewide, which includes our 3,200 school district employees.
If I could just add one follow-up, so then for us to drive money into the classroom, which is what a lot of us would like to do, we would have to have another $100 million on the table today just to keep the liability from growing, dealing with K-12, and then extra on top of that to try to drive money into the classroom. I mean, I think one of the things that, or one of the points I'm trying to make, is I think the Association of School Boards hopefully are paying attention to what's going on. We have a huge capital draw coming at us, and we need help to fix it. And like the chairman had mentioned, relying on the state for 100% bailout is going to be a risky business and probably not going to be the way the cards are dealt.
Senator Bundy.
Understood. Misery loves company here. You're leaving another number out, Senator Stedman. The cost differential, according to ICER, is another about $90 million. So if we were to truly have adequate funding this year, it would be probably $400 million. And all we have to do is have every other department give up a good bit of their funding so that we could adequately, quote unquote, fund education. Let's not forget that you mentioned the governor's budget, I think you said it was a 16% increase. Actually, I think it's somewhat higher than that. But if we funded the governor's budget as requested in total, the state would be $50 million in debt this year. Next year, probably $500 million in debt. The one constant that I hear, and we hear a lot of information from constituents, but the one constant is there's too much state spending, and don't spend all this temporary increase in cash flow and leave us in a even bigger deficit in future years. So I'm still seeking that adequate definition of adequate funding, but every time I look at it, it gets bigger.
Are you not going to extend your question about Senate Bill 141 to John Alcantara?
Yeah, I think I've heard right hand. I need to hear.
You probably one. Already know our stance on it, or I'm happy to take that one if you want me to.
Yeah, we'll look forward to all your members being here in the next couple of weeks. Yes, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we're talking about gloom and doom, there's also, and we strayed from the bill, there's also good things on the horizon, and that's PPT. And I think everyone at this table believes that we're going to enact that legislation in one form or another, whether it's this session or in extended session or a special session. And that, even at the governor's level, is little under $900 million, and in other scenarios, up to $2 billion. So there, and we're talking different effective dates. If we enact it March 30th, that could potentially bring in $300 million. And we're talking real dollars there. So there is ways to address some of the needs that have been battered around this table, even for the long term, funding what Senator Stedman talks about on the increased liability and what Senator Bundy has talked about. So there is the dollars in the near future, if not the immediate future, and I just wanted to put that on the table.
Thank you very much. Thanks, John. Mary Frances? Morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. I've spoken to you before on the operating budget. We are very supportive of the
increase. Can you give your name, please?
Oh, sorry. Mary Frances, Executive Director of the Alaska Association School Administrators.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. SB1, we're supportive of the increase to the base student allocation, but as I testified before, that as administrators around the state, superintendents in particular, put the numbers to paper that the $90 million would provide to each district, most districts found that to be insufficient to keep forward the motion that the legislators have provided to us in past years. I think our main concern is that we not have to backtrack from the positive movement forward, and this amount in many districts causes them to have reductions that would take away some of the improvements that have been made in previous years. So we support this amount, but we would like to see it higher.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mary Frances? Senator Bundy.
I'd mentioned earlier to Senator Wilkins a concern that is going to be needed to be addressed. We have, I don't know, 21 or 22 single-site schools. That is, one school is a school district, and we're going to have to address consolidation. That means there's probably 8 or 10 more superintendents out there than we really need. Each salary could hire probably 2 teachers. Is your association going to have a position on consolidation of single-site schools?
We've taken a position in the past opposed to school consolidation, but we have not discussed it this year. I think we are very supportive and always have been of consolidation of services, and in many districts you have seen that over the past few years, where administrative services have been shared, professional development for staff have been shared. So we don't have a resolution to that effect this year, Senator Bundy.
Thank you.
And we do support the teacher incentive program, the teacher in a meal. I've testified before on that. We support it as long as it isn't the money for it provided within the $90 million.
And Madam Chair, I'm sorry I neglected to thank you for that. And I appreciate your support on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. There's no further testimony. And is there any discussion? Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm rather late. I didn't get a chance to sign up.
Well, come on. You just give me your name so I can.
Sure. My name is Andrea Story. Andy is the nickname that I go by. And I am a parent of 2 children in Alaska's public schools. I also am an aunt of another child up in Anchorage schools. My children go to the Juneau public schools. And I also am on the Juneau school board. I'm testifying on myself, behalf of myself this morning, even though I did want to say that last week a few members testified in House Finance that for an increase in the student base allocation from the $3,352 to $3,552, a $200 increase, because the governor's $90 million, which we are thankful for, does mean $2 million in cuts to the Juneau School District. And the $200 increase would get Juneau to $1 million. And so we did testify on that last week, I believe. But I wanted to speak to you today as a parent and as an advocate for children in schools. And I've been very active in my children's schools, serving on PTAs and site councils, and ran for the board a few years ago. And it's been very interesting being on the board and seeing the process and seeing how what happens today in this room and over the next few weeks has an impact, in that when the revenues are passed, it goes to the boards, and the boards are chosen to look at the budget and use them best how we see fit, and also from what we hear from our constituents. And that's often a struggle because costs have increased more than the revenues that have come in. And I know that many of you work closely with your school boards, and so you know your district's budgets well, and you know how they are trying to be responsive to their constituents. And one thing, what you do here today really will impact children's day-to-day environment in their schools next year. And I really think that $50 million more, $43 million more will be a huge impact and something you can feel really good about doing. Having said that, I really am saying, in looking at the state revenues of our 34 in the permanent fund of our budget surplus, that there are many avenues, and I'm looking to leadership from this body and our whole body, because I think to have cuts to children in any of our school districts this year would be really surprising. I think there's a way to make the revenues work. And I'm just encouraging you to be looking at these budgets, and please increase the base student allocation. And in your talks these next few weeks, really look at our revenues available to us and how we can help kids next year in their classes. So thank you for the opportunity, and I wish you well in looking at all the numbers.
Thank you very much, Andrea. It's good to have you here. Is there further discussion? I know we have an amendment. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number one.
Object.
Amendment number one is a modest increase. I think the lowest that has been requested. We've heard from Juno saying that they want to increase it by about $25 million. NEA, substantial increase, and I think even the highest one is the Alaska Kids Count wants it increased by $45 million. This is a modest increase of $6 million, which would raise the base student allocation by a mere $28 per student. I think that this, given the testimony, I think this is a minimal amount which would go some ways to addressing the concerns that all of the individuals that testified before us today. And with that, I submit it to the body for their consideration.
Thank you. Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would speak against the amendment, but appreciate Senator Hoffman giving me the first wedgie of the day. I guess that I still maintain that the governor's numbers are generous, and believe that $90 million is appropriate. But if we do want to talk about more for this bill or other bills to follow, perhaps what happened in the other body yesterday, I really have to question the number, and I don't know where $6 million came from. It maybe should be 2 or it maybe should be 20, I don't know. But I don't think we should just grab at a number and throw it into a bill and walk away feeling better. So if we want to talk about more, then we'll talk about more, but I would rather do it on a basis of knowledge and a decision that we could defend. And I can't defend $6 million, unfortunately. And so I'll be voting no on the amendment.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'd like to also speak against the amendment. Although I appreciate the desire to try to put more money into the classrooms, I am in supportive of the additional 100 or so, plus or minus million, that's been mentioned here today, just to bring the contribution rate up to the actuarial calculated rate to stop the liability growth. So I look at this as just one half. $90 million on the table today, roughly one half of the total dollars that we're looking at dealing with in the education system. And going forward, by capping the growth of that liability will allow us to drive more money into the classrooms. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Bundy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We just recently completed a rather long budget process and went through the subcommittees in each department. Had to justify their spending and receive reductions, and so now we have passed a general fund budget that is a reduction from the requests. It's about a 13% growth over last year, and I think that's as large as we can go. So if we're going to have any particular state agency have increased funding, it has to, in my mind, operate within the parameters of the general fund budget we've already passed. So if for me to entertain any amendment to increase education funding, I have to know where we take the funds from. I have a few suggestions about where I think we state provides subsidies we don't have to provide, and I could support moving those funds around, but for me to support any amendments or increases, I need to know which Peter we're going to rob to pay what Paul.
Any other comments? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Certainly, we've heard a lot of testimony today related to the desires, wants, and absolute needs of some of the people that are coming up through the ranks. Remembering not that long ago when I was a student, certainly it was one of the things that farthest from my mind is there. But I think we're in a new era today. It was pointed out yesterday that at a presentation that Dell was at, as time goes on, we're in a digital age, and the outsourcing that's gone on here because of our school's inability to go ahead and keep up with what's going on in the world. The other thing is that we're doing right now here within this body, this committee, in fact, has been looking at the petroleum production tax. And as we look at things that are being negotiated and some things that are being negotiated away, if we just look at one of the simple things as far as was pointed out earlier was the date that this tax becomes enacted related to the five-year look back and claw back, and whether it's enacted the 1st of January, the 1st of April, or July 31st, we're dealing with certainly quite a bit more money than has been talked about in this amendment. $6 million is, you know, certainly a lot of money, but not when you look at what's affected by the date the PPT will be enacted. We're dealing with close to $1 billion there. So $6 million doesn't seem that much when you put it in the context of $1 billion as to when we decide that this PPT is going to be enacted. And so that's where I see one of the places that it can be funded through. So with that, I speak in support of the amendment, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Dolson. Senator
Bennett. We've heard PPT mentioned a couple of times, and I think funding anything based on that would be like buying a lottery ticket and then going out to buy a new car based on your potential earnings. Mm-hmm. Not a wise way to go.
Senator Hoffman.
I'll buy a couple of those lottery tickets. Madam Chairman.
Yes, sir.
In closing, I would say that at this table, we had increased higher education by 14%, and there was a lot of discussion about that. But at the end of the day, we went ahead and made that increase at 14%, and that legislation is on the floor today, and I'd buy a lottery ticket that says that bill would pass too. But at 14%, we're looking at 8.8, so 9%, so another 6% would bring in an additional $295 per base student allocation, and that would bring the total base student allocation from $535,352 up to $5,647. This amendment isn't even close to that, Madam Chairman. You know, it's asking for only $28 more, and with that, we'll still be 5% less than what we funded higher education at. And everyone knows that not everyone goes to the university, but everyone that has children goes to K-12. Why should K-12 receive a less percentage increase than the university? This amendment doesn't even do that. This amendment doesn't even come close to that. And I, for one, feel that, and I've supported that increase, Madam Chairman. I, for one, feel that the children from K-1 should at least deserve the same treatment that we're giving a fraction of the portion of the students of the state that graduate that can go on to the university. So from the arguments that I hear today, they just don't hold water.
Are there other comments? Objections withheld. Would you take the roll, please?
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Stedman?
No.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
2A, 5A.
So the amendment fails. Okay. We will be holding this. And bring it up on today. Senator Wilken.
Madam Chair, could I just do a brief wrap-up?
Yes,
if I could, please. Thanks for hearing the bill again, and for the folks that online and in the room that showed up and pardon me, helped with it. Sometimes we leave this table thinking that the glass is half empty, but I'd just like to share some thoughts or some numbers that I believe shows what this legislature has done over the last 10 years, and this glass is really half full. If you look back 10 years, FY 1997, and if you think of the general fund pie, just don't think of federal money or any of that or other stuff, just think of the people's money. Back in 1997, K-12 education commanded 29.9% of that pie, 29.9%. So if this legislature or those legislatures and legislators held K-12 in the same stead that they did back in 1997, you'd expect in the budget we're in today, FY06, that 29.9 would be the same piece of that GF pie. But Madam Chair and members of the committee, I think we should be proud of the fact, and the people that support K-12 should be proud of the fact, that today the operating budget is 38.8% of that pie is now attributable to K-12 education. So that's a 30% increase in the piece of the pie. And that's the result of legislators understanding the importance of K-12. It's the result of people bringing those needs to this body. And I think that when you look at that and coupled with Governor Murkowski's pencil chart, I think it's very easy to be to understand that this glass is actually half full and that we've made a lot of progress. And I suspect as legislators live up to their campaign promises consider this every year, that we'll continue on the track that we have in the past. And with that, thank you again for hearing the bill.
Thank you very much. We will reconvene this afternoon at 1 p.m. and we're working on SJR 19, which is a task force on hospital infections. SB 271, authorized highway program participation, and move on to SB 305. Brief at ease, please. Also have SB 10. Okay, very good. And we adjourned or are we at ease?
For my lottery ticket.
Adjourned. Okay, we are adjourned and we'll reconvene at 1 o'clock.
Oh.
What'd you say?
Whatever she says.
Yeah.